mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, and Jesus is the God we serve. Oh, Jesus is the God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore. Jesus is the God we serve.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you.
Sister Alyssa's going to testify. I just told her just now.
Just now.
Go ahead.
And then when you're put on the spot like that, your brain totally goes blank. I'm so thankful that we are here in the house of the Lord today, and just thankful for all of you. You being here is such an encouragement to us. It's a labor, but it's a labor of love, and we're so thankful. If you weren't here, it wouldn't be worth it. And greater than that, if Jesus wasn't here to be with us, then there'd be no purpose in us being here. Yeah, no purpose in us being here. I'm so thankful that we have worshipers that usher in the presence of God and just fill us up and bring us to a place of worship together. I'm thankful for all of you.
Let's thank the Lord for that right now. Jesus, thank you, God. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you are so good. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Just by way of introduction, over the past month, we had several times heard about this passage of Scripture that I'm going to be talking about tonight, and then I found this old Bible study chart from the 50s, and it just really brought out something from those Scriptures that I don't think I've ever seen it put like that before. So this is not original with me, and I'm simply, what I did was I took the Bible study chart and I grabbed all the Scriptures and put them all into the notes and took out what was said there and pointed out there in the Scripture. And a couple weeks ago, I was talking to Brother Joel, and I said, Brother Joel, I got a Bible study that I think would help you. And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? I'm looking at this Bible study, and it's helping me. But I took all those Scriptures and put them into those notes, and it was 17 pages of Scriptures. So we got to hurry tonight, huh? We're going to be here till. But what I did was I took them, and I really kind of brought out the Scriptures that really showed these different points, and I want to share that with you tonight. This Bible study is called, and if you could put up that slide, this Bible study is called The Two Natures and the Seven Conditions of Man. And then the subtitle is The Secret of Victory Over Satan and Power with God. Amen. So this really isn't a secret. It's plain in the Scriptures, and it is very scriptural. And so I want to talk about these seven conditions of man, and I want to talk about how the Bible talks about us having two natures, all right? So oftentimes, young Christians especially, become discouraged. If you just got in the church over the past year, why don't you, or let's say 2 years, let's say 5 years, that's still new convert range right there. Amen. So as a young Christian, as a new convert, you get discouraged when you discover that even though you've received the Holy Ghost, that you're still struggling and you're still tempted and you're still prone to fail along these certain lines. So oftentimes a new convert will have that thought, or they thought that they would never be tempted again. And the Bible doesn't say that. And so it's a false assumption. Oh, I'm never, once I get the Holy Ghost, once I start my walk with God, I'm never going to be tempted again. And as a result, the devil puts doubts in their minds and a stumbling block of whether or not they're really saved. And questions fill their mind, such as, why am I battling all the time against sin and the world? Am I really saved? If so, why do these temptations keep coming? And maybe, they might say, maybe I really didn't get the Holy Ghost. The devil likes to tell people that one. He says it all the time, especially for new converts. Oh, you didn't really get the Holy Ghost. And so then they ask, well, if I really got the Holy Ghost, why do I have all these temptations and desires? And the reason that they are discouraged is because they fail to see that they now have two natures to deal with. They're fighting for possession of the same body. So let's look at Scripture. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that ye would. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So you see there in this scripture, there's the flesh. Everybody say the flesh. And the Spirit. And when you look at this, it's talking about the Spirit of God. This capital S here, it's not talking about our natural spirit. It's talking about the Spirit of God. When you are born again and you receive the Spirit of God, there's a constant struggle between the flesh and the Spirit of God. And the secret is, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Amen. Not so much a secret. But this study will help us to understand what happens when we are saved and how to overcome so that we will be ready when Jesus comes for his bride. So let's start looking at these seven conditions of man. The first one we want to look at by looking at the sinner. In the scriptures, the sinner is called the natural man. The natural man. So you see here, there's a tree here because mankind is represented many times in Scripture as a tree. It talks about bringing forth fruit, right? It talks about being planted by the rivers of water, okay? So this tree, and I know it's hard to see, so you can see all those fruits on the tree, and the fruits say on this one, they're works of the flesh. This is the natural man. So it says wrath. That's one of the fruit of the flesh. Strife, adultery, idolatry, fornication, witchcraft, uncleanness, hatred, lasciviousness, emulations, seditions, heresies, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, murders. These are the things that the Bible talks about is the condition of the natural man, that within the heart of every man and every woman and every child, they have this capacity to sin, and it's by their nature. So 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them, Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So living as a natural human being, a natural person in the flesh with the nature of sin, you'll never comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. You'll never be able to understand to do what you need to do to serve the Lord. Galatians 5:19, going back to our opening text just a couple scriptures later, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And Jesus said it like this in Matthew 12:33, talking about a tree. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy word shalt thou be judged, and by thy word shalt thou be condemned. And so even if it's not some of those things of murders and envyings and strife, Jesus got us nailed because he said every idle word will we give account. So as a natural man, as a natural human being, I'm saying man as the proverbial man, it's including you ladies too. You're not off the hook. Amen? But that we're all naturally like this. But when the natural man turns to God, repents, and is baptized in Jesus' name, he loses his sin and becomes a repented man. So that's the next tree where it says, it shows that all those works of the flesh are cut off. When you truly repent and turn to God and are baptized and buried with Jesus Christ in baptism, those works of the flesh are cut off. You get cut down to a stump, all right? And the repented man, Proverbs 28:13, let's talk about repented, and what does it mean? It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Luke 13:3, I tell you, this is Jesus, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is necessary. We've got to get rid of those works of the flesh. Okay, no, leave it alone. It's fine. Thank you very much. 1 Peter 3:10, the devil's trying to pay attention up here. 1 Peter 3:10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. This is talking about true repentance. Let him eschew evil or turn away from evil. Actually, the word eschew means kind of to hate and to do good. And let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Why is it so necessary to repent and get rid of the works of the flesh? It's because God won't hear your prayers if you're not repented and turned towards him. We like to say, God hears every prayer of every person. Well, that's not what the Bible says. So we got to repent. He's already outlined this plan for us. It's very, very simple. Let's just have faith and do it. Acts 2:38, Amen. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. It's commanded to every single one of us to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. And when we do, show the tree again. Show my slide again. The works of the flesh are cut off. Ezekiel 18:23, and this one's very good when it talks about repentance. I was reading these things and just like, man, God was working on me. Just like Brother Andre said the other day, God, if somebody says God's working on them, they're probably going through some trouble. Amen. The Lord was dealing with me about this. Ezekiel 18:23. Says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? And he's pointing out that he's got an equal balance, but they're all out of balance. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. He said, I don't want any one of you to die. I want you to all repent. All right. Amen. Right. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. Now, it's important to understand that the branches of sin will soon reappear if he does not go on to receive the Holy Ghost. Pastor, we got all those tree stumps out there. If you leave them out there the way that they are, many of them, the branches will start coming back out on them. Why? Because those roots go down into the soil, and it's going to try to grow a new tree. All right? Matthew 12:43 says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So the branches of sin start reappearing if you don't go on to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Repenting and being baptized in Jesus' name is not enough. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, in order for you to be completely full of God and to steer yourself away from sin. Romans 7:18 says, for I know that in me, this is important, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. If you're looking for yourself for your own direction to get yourself out of the trouble of sin, it's not going to work. You can search yourself all over, and you will not find the good thing that you need. You need the Holy Ghost. Romans 7:24, a little bit later in that chapter, says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. When a man receives the Holy Ghost, he truly becomes a born-again man. That's my next slide. The new nature is grafted in to that old flesh. And you're dealing with two natures now. John 3, 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He goes on to say, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Without being born again, please keep putting my slide up, Brother Andre. If I get a break in what I'm saying, put the slide back up. Thank you. If you are not full with the Spirit and that new nature is not grafted in, those sucker roots will start growing up again. But what about what happens after you receive the Holy Ghost? Well, John 7:37, and Jesus said it like this: this is so important that we receive the Holy Ghost, because it says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." This is how we know that the power to save us from the flesh is in the gospel, God's plan. He's the author of salvation. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The only power of God to save us is in the gospel. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new nature that is grafted in is the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is it? When we receive the Holy Ghost, the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ is grafted into us. Amen. And we are not the same anymore. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. So what we receive when we receive the Holy Ghost is Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not the things that satisfy the flesh, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's the things that satisfy your spirit. Amen. Ephesians 4:22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation. That word conversation means lifestyle, not just what you say, but how you live. The former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. We want the true nature of Jesus, the nature of the holiness of God, the nature of the goodness of God, the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Therefore, the born-again man has two natures: the natural, shown by the trunk of the tree, and the spiritual, shown by the engrafted new nature. Now, every born-again man has a choice. And this is where it gets a little tough, all right? Every born-again man has a choice. We're all born again, for the most part, here in this building tonight. We've all got the Holy Ghost. We've all been baptized in Jesus' name. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to do it tonight. There's just no reason to leave here without being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Amen. That's my side note. But it might become the main part of the service. Amen. But you got to be born again. You've got to get this new nature. Everybody that has just like this, in this condition, has a choice to make. Galatians, let's look at that choice. Galatians 5:17, going back to my opening scripture, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. That's the choice. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, what is it talking about? You cannot do the things that you would. Well, what you would do if you were just simply in the flesh is go sin. We'd all be out there sinning. We'd all be at the bar. We'd all be gambling. We'd all be doing the things that every single one of us would all grow up in this culture, and we'd all be sinners. We'd all be out there doing sin. But I can't do those things because I'm a new man. I can't do those things anymore because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I can't go smoke and drink and do all those things that I used to do because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I've been cut off from the things of the world and from the natural man, and I've got a new nature in me, the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans 8:13 says, this is the choice, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, that word means to put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That choice number one, go ahead and put up that next slide. Choice number one, he can live in the old nature after the flesh and become a carnal man. Look at this. Look at this tree. You see how, and I don't know if you can read those things, so I'll read them for you. You see those little sucker roots that are branches that have come up? It says sin, pride, criticism, worldliness, jealousy, love of ease, the cares of this world, absence from church. Those types of things that just feed the carnal nature, you can easily, born again person, born again, got the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. I'm telling you this from experience. I've been here, all right? I know that this is true. 1 Corinthians 3:1, let's go to scripture because maybe you'll take my word for it, maybe not. But can you take the word of the Lord? It says 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. He's talking to born-again people here, the church at Corinth. He says, I couldn't even speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? The answer was yes. I know this is tough. It was tough for me. Amen. And I had to read 10 times the amount of scriptures, so it really got hammered home to me. Amen. Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you continue in the flesh, if you continue to feed that fleshly nature, and you become a carnal man, the carnal man has dropped right back into the old life that he lived before he was saved. And he's living according to the desires of the flesh, the old nature. the natural branches, the natural stump, will be fed without resistance. You see, when the nourishment comes up, and this happens in real in nature, so I love this example. But if you graft in a new tree on top of the old one, if you don't watch it, those natural branches that spring up again and start to grow again, those carnal branches, they're the path of least resistance. They're part of the natural stump. They're easy to allow to grow. They're easy to allow to be fed. But if you cut them off and you keep nourishing the spirit, the nature of God in your life, then it will start to pull and draw and grow strong and become something more and become what we all want to be, which is spiritual, the spiritual man. But if you let this happen where you continue to allow the fleshly nature to grow and you deny the new nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, the new nature will be smothered out and die, and you will become a reprobate man. And this is a very dangerous place to be. 2 Corinthians, this is getting harder and harder. I'm sorry. We're going somewhere. We're going to get to that spiritual man. Reprobate man. 2 Corinthians 13:5. This is something I wish I knew when I was a young person. I really do. When I was a new convert, I wish I would have known this stuff. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Just be careful. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Jump to verse 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Ooh, that, wow. If you continue to be carnal and you continue to just let the free-flowing nature of the flesh take its course, God will just let you go. That's scary to me. That terrifies me. Amen. That means that I'm in a good place. I don't want to be there. Amen. I don't want to be allowed to slip away by God. Amen. 2 Peter 2:20 says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But this is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. This example, this proverb, I don't even want to talk about the first one, about the dog, but it just turns my stomach. I can't stand it. But think about that. If you want to return to the carnal nature and go out and just continue to sin and not do anything about it, not even pray, not even ask God, not even come to church, that's what you're doing. And you know, if you take a prize pig, anybody ever lived on a farm or been part of a farm, they have these county fairs, and they'll clean that pig squeaky clean. and they'll try to display that pig, and they want that pig to win first prize, but they got to keep that pig in a cage. They can't put it back out into the wallow, because if they do, that pig will go right back to the mud. It doesn't care that it was cleaned. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about feeling the nature of God, feeling the Holy Ghost, feeling clean. You come up out of the water, you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're clean from your old sins, you got that grafted new nature, and you just say, oh, I don't even care that I was cleaned. I want to just go out and do what I was doing before. You got to watch out, because when you look at this slide, you look at how you still have all of those sucker branches. Eventually, that nourishment that was getting put into the nature, the new nature, is going to die out. I saw this just a couple months ago. We had two mulberry bushes in our backyard, and they have those really neat-looking leaves that they're like pointed on all, and they're bright. They're like a dark, dark green. And so they were healthy mulberry bushes, but I have not touched those bushes since I lived there. I didn't try to cut back anything else. And those bittersweet vines just started getting wrapped up around that mulberry bush. And we've got these big, tall cedar trees. They're beautiful. I really like the smell of cedar. That mulberry bush was about, I want to say, 15 feet away from the cedar tree, something like that. It's like between from where I am to Sister Greeley. But that bittersweet just started wrapping itself over on top of those of that mulberry bush, and it was using that mulberry bush as like a framework to just grow in and upon itself. And by 10 years that we, how long have we been there now? Almost 14 years. 11? Okay. 2011 we came. It has grown up. It's bigger than my pickup truck. Or it was. It took me about 2-3 good weekends to get that all cut up and get it pulled down. But when I got all the way to the bottom where the mulberry bush was, the mulberry bush was completely dried up from the roots, because all of the water in the ground and all of, and I was just able to take and put my foot on that mulberry bush, and it just cracked apart. It just shattered. It was literally getting no nourishment, and so it died. It completely died. And if you neglect the Spirit of God and spiritual things, you will die spiritually, and God will allow you to go into a reprobate mind. Thank God that He saved some of us backsliders before we got to that point. Amen? Woo! When I think about the Lord, amen, He's so good, because He kept dealing with my heart, and He didn't, and He gave me a way to get right with Him. Amen. 2 Peter 2:20. I just read this? No. Yeah, I did just read. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. It says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, and that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." This, if you're not careful, you'll get to a point where God can no longer deal with you, where it doesn't matter what God does. It doesn't matter who God sends your way. You ignore. You just You just deny any access to the Spirit of the Lord. And God can't talk about like an unpardonable sin. God is limited in that he cannot save those who don't believe. He's made salvation available, but if you say, I don't believe, I refuse to believe, he won't be able to reach you in this life. And so it's really important that we don't get to the point where what God has put in us, that new nature, gets smothered and stamped out and dies, and it's impossible to renew us again. And that's what it says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. These are hard scriptures. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and that were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and that have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now I said, God can't save those that don't believe. But if somebody that has gone away from God can get just that little spark of faith, God will have mercy. I've seen it before. I've seen it where somebody backslid for 20 years and you thought that God would never reach them again. But life and God have a way of breaking us down when we need it and letting us go our way. And some of us learn the hard way. You don't have to go through all that. God can just continue to believe and feed the nature of God in your life. Hebrews 10:28 says it like this: he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. No matter how far away I had gotten from God when I was backslid, anytime I heard the word of God, I did not doubt that it was the word of God. When I saw the Bible, that's the word of God. I believe that. I believe that Bible. I might not be living right, but I believe that that is the truth. I know that's the truth. But there are those that can get to the point where they say the blood of Jesus is an unholy thing. And I can't imagine personally how you could ever get to that point. But we have to be careful, because the purpose of God's blood is to help you to live holy. The purpose of the word is to help you realize your faults and your flaws, so that you can turn to God and so that God can work on you and change you. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which will allow you to come in and start cutting back those things that are growing up around you. But if you trample underfoot the Son of God, And you count the blood of the covenant an unholy thing, Jesus said it like this, Matthew 12:31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. That sounds like the man that will blaspheme against the Holy Ghost and will speak against the Holy Ghost, that holy thing that sanctified us, that man is doomed. Oof. But the born-again man has another choice. You don't have to go that way. You have another choice. Let's go back to my text, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And Romans 8:13 says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you just allow the Spirit of God to lead you, you have that second choice. You can follow the new nature. You can live in the new nature, in the Spirit, and you can become an overcoming man. The fleshly desires get cut off. Colossians 3:5 says, mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. I could just see the word of God going through and chopping off all of those sucker plants, sucker branches that are taking all the nourishment away and cutting off your access to the growth of the Spirit of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. I want to grow up in him. Amen. Romans 13:11, and know that, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I'm cutting off all of the access to that water that would try to take away the nourishment from the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Romans 14:7 says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. Romans 14:16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Amen. This part where it says, for he that in these things service Christ is acceptable unto God. Serving God, we say we should serve God with all of our might, with all of our strength, with all of our heart. Amen. But, you know, I like peace. I like to be at peace. I like peace in my soul. I like joy. I like waking up in the morning knowing that I'm saved, sanctified, and cleansed. Amen. I like serving God in righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 18:8, Jesus said, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire." Now let me just say this. If Jesus meant this literally, a lot of the apostles would be missing hands and eyes. A lot of the disciples, the church, would be marked even to this day by people with one hand or with one eye. So Jesus spoke in the extreme so that you would get it, that you need to cut off the fleshly nature. You need to cut off sin. You need to cut off malice and wrath and strife and all those things that will cause you to be lost. It's easy to do those. It's a much easier to do those things than it is for you to go and take a hacksaw to your arm. Amen? I could do with less malice in my life. Amen? But I can't play the guitar without two hands. So that's off the table. Romans 6:16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." Hallelujah. Luke 21:34, Jesus said, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." He's talking about returning, amen, back. "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." The overcoming man crucifies the flesh with its affections and lust, and by the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, cuts off those branches of carnality which would sap the life of the tree and destroy its spirituality. This pruning process must continue, or the sucker growth of the old nature will sprout out when least expected. The new nature will now grow, and he will become a spiritual man. A spiritual man. You went from overcoming the flesh to becoming a spiritual man. And Galatians 5:22, and I'm closing. Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." It sounds like I'm talking about pineapple or something. I love pineapple. I like kiwi. I like strawberries. I like peaches. Amen. You think about the works of the flesh, and it's like crab apples, you know? It's like, ugh. But the fruit of the Spirit, it makes you, when you talk about it, it makes you hungry for it. Amen? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Psalm 1:1 says it like this: Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, amen, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Man, you ever want to live a life where you just can't mess up? If you're walking in a spiritual nature, and you're walking with the Spirit of God, and you're following after the Spirit of the Lord, you can. That's the secret. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me. Truly, this is important. This last point here. The truly spiritual man is constantly pressing onward, never feeling that he's already attained, never wearing out from doing good things, but always aware of his own need for vigilance. He is continually seeking God for more of God's Spirit to fill his life, and thus brings much fruit unto perfection. Now we can see why so many fail. Why do you think we bother you? Come to church. Make it to the house of God. Come on. Stop doing the things that you did before. Just follow God. Follow God. Get into another prayer meeting. Come to prayer on Monday night. Come to Bible class. Go to growth class. Amen. Do all those things. Press. Amen. Get into it. Put one step, one foot in front of another and walk after God. Walk in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We see that, though. Why so many go astray. I remember your husband, Sister Brown, talking about it in one prayer meeting, and we were, I think it was getting to him a little bit, that we had so many people that had been baptized. And I think he asked you, Pastor, why do so many people that we baptized just stop coming? And now we see, this Bible study proves that. It's because they want to keep living in the flesh. And they don't want to mortify those deeds and have the Word of God cut off those things. And when you get up in the morning and you have a desire from the flesh, go to the Word, read the Word with the intention of having that work of the flesh cut off. Say, God, cut it out. Cut it out of me. Flesh, cut it out. So we see that those that fail, they don't know how to deal with the two natures, the war that's going on within them. But we can also see the secret of victory over sin and the secret of power with God. Galatians 5:16 says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Where are you? Where are you? In these seven different conditions that we talked about, where are you at? What condition are you in? Don't answer me, answer yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we all close our eyes? Lord Jesus, help us to have a clear mind and a clear heart, God. Jesus, help us to know exactly, Lord God, where we are. Lord Jesus, I want to be an overcoming man, God. I want to be a spiritual man to bring forth much fruit unto perfection, God. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord God, to cut off those things, Lord Jesus, that would grow up around me to try to choke off the the spiritual nature that you put in my life, God. Oh, Lord, help me to be a spiritual man, God, created after you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Oh, Lord, I desire, God, to grow in you, Lord Jesus, to become a tree, Lord God, that's planted by the rivers of water. Oh, God, bring forth much fruit in my life, Jesus. Oh, Lord, don't let my leaf wither, Lord God. Help me to delight in you, Lord Jesus. Help me to delight in your law, Lord God. Oh, Lord, help me to welcome, oh, God, that sword of the Spirit into my life that will come to cut off the things, Lord Jesus, that bring me to the flesh, Lord Jesus. I thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it. Hallelujah. Thank you for your mercy, God, in that you've spoken to us tonight, Lord. You gave us direction, Lord. You gave us the word, Lord God, tonight. Hallelujah. You gave us the truth, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise you. Oh, I thank you, God. God, you're so good, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And praise God. Thank you so much for coming. We'll see you on Sunday. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.